Senate Bill 184, an act to protect the children of South Dakota against sexual exploitation by criminalizing certain conduct involving children and the internet, to provide for civil remedies, to require certain people to report suspected violations, and to revise certain provisions regarding the unlawful use of computers. Senate Bill 184 was brought to the committee at the request of the governor.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. We're going to just pass out a proposed amendment that we've worked out with one of the lobbyists representing the movie industry, as well as a one-page overview of the bill and a more detailed three-page, more detailed analysis of the bill.
My name
is Jarris Campbell. I'm a staffer with Governor Janklow's office. I also serve as his legal counsel. The governor certainly thanks the committee for accepting his bill for consideration. It's nice to finally be here, Madam Chair, before the committee. Both myself and Bill Mickelson have been thinking about this day, waiting for this day since last spring. It was last spring that the governor came to us, sat us down, gave us his idea, and basically set us loose on doing what he wanted to be done as far as protecting our kids. The governor had wired all the schools. I think we're all aware of the fact that that's brought a certain amount of national recognition to the state. But at the same time, he also knew that the internet, while being a fantastic tool for our kids, both in terms of entertainment and schoolwork, etc., notwithstanding that fact, the internet does have many dangerous streets for our kids to walk down, particularly when they're unsupervised and alone surfing the internet. So the governor set out to do two things. He wanted to educate the public on the dangers that are out there with the internet, and he wanted to arrest the bad guys. Basically, out of the governor's idea came his what we refer to as the South Dakota Internet Crimes Against Children Enforcement Unit, which is headed up by Bill Mickelson. Once that task force got going last summer, it became very clear to us that our current child porn and child exploitation laws really needed some work. They were outdated. They simply had not kept pace with this internet explosion that we've all been witnessing over the last 5 years. So here we are. The governor's bill, Senate Bill 184, is before us. The bill is somewhat lengthy, as we did basically take on the task of overhauling existing law in order to update it and to make it tougher. You will have before you the one-page, bill overview, which will tell you the seven or eight areas, different areas of the law that this bill addresses, as well as a three-page, more detailed section-by-section analysis, if that's any assistance to the committee. And with that, Madam Chair, with your permission, I'd like to just introduce three or four of, the governor's team that's here that would be available for any questions. And then again, with your permission, Bill Mickelson would just like to read a brief statement into the record, and then we'll just open it up for questions, if that's okay. With us, we've got Tony Sanchez. He's chief legal counsel for the Department of Social Services. Tony, matter of fact, has got a couple cases on his plate right now as far as prosecuting them. Tony's a prosecutor. Bill Mickelson, of course, is the commander of the South Dakota Internet Crimes Against Children Enforcement Unit. Otto Dahl is the commissioner of our Bureau of Information and Technology, and Doug Lone is a lawyer with the governor's office as well. So I'll just let Bill step up. Thanks.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bill Mickelson, and I'm the commander for the South Dakota Internet Crimes Against Children Enforcement Unit, and we're operating under the direction of Governor Janklow. education, internet crime investigations, and providing computer forensic support to all law enforcement in South Dakota is our goal. 15 years ago, the idea of sitting in your living room and being able to visit anywhere in the world, have real-time chats with people around the world, and have the world's information at your fingertips was science fiction. It's not science fiction, it's a reality. The cyber city that makes up the World Wide Web has many great streets, parks, and buildings that we can access and travel to, but the cyber city also has dark and sinister alleys and neighborhoods. And these dark areas of the World Wide Web offer new and inherent dangers for our children. There are approximately 1.6 billion websites posted on the information highways. It's estimated there's about 12.8 million pornographic websites that exist on the web, and of those, 17,000 are devoted to child pornography and pedophilia. 80,000 child porn files are traded online every week. By the year 2005, there's going to be about 44 million kids using the internet in the United States, and there's 38 million kids online right now. 1 in 5 kids were sexually solicited online this past year through email, chat rooms, bulletin boards, and instant messaging. 1 in 33 kids were aggressively solicited online for sex. 1 in 4 kids were exposed to unwanted pornography. An alarming fact is that only 10% of the sexual solicitations and 3% of the unwanted exposures to pornography were reported to police, parents, an ISP, or a hotline. The World Wide Web has become a virtual playground for pedophiles with millions of potential victims. These pedophiles download, distribute, and manufacture child pornography. They go online and lurk in dark corners of cyberspace and chat rooms and any place popular on the net where they can find kids. They look for highly troubled kids, vulnerable kids. They seek to fulfill the emotional needs of children and attempt to groom the child so the child can be easily exploited for sexual purposes. They introduce the child to pornography of all kinds, including child pornography. Why does the pedophile use the computer to carry out his criminal behavior? The computer affords him the privacy, the instant gratification, easy access to millions of kids online, and most importantly, the anonymity that he seeks. He hides in the shadows in the dark alleys of Cyber City. Kids make perfect victims because they don't tell. It's amazing what some people in our society will do to the least of us, our children. This business of cybercrime is a relatively new phenomenon. Only within the last 5 years has law enforcement across the country been confronted with the escalation and the proliferation of child pornography caused by the misuse of the internet. The world has experienced an explosion of child exploitation crimes like online enticement of kids for sex acts, child prostitution, kids cyberstalking, child sex tourism, and kids literally being bought and sold over the internet. Are these things happening in South Dakota? The answer is yes. Since our unit became operational in mid-October, we are facilitating in the investigation of over 100 cases, and we've done forensics work on 22 computers. With sadness, I must report that we're only beginning our journey. It is our hope that this bill before you represents South Dakota's line in the sand, a bill that would protect our greatest resource, our children, from those who would steal the innocence of youth from our children. A child who has been sexually exploited wears the scars forever. So with that, I'll sit down, and if you have questions later after additional testimony, I'll be glad to try to answer.
Thank you. Are there other proponents to Senate Bill 184? Are there other proponents to Senate Bill 184?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Travis Benson, registered lobbyist for the Catholic Diocese. I'll be brief. The diocese supports this bill. We believe it to be a pro-child and a pro-family bill, and we applaud the governor for bringing this to the state's attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Travis. Are there other proponents to Senate Bill 184? Other proponents?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mike Shaw. I'm an attorney from Pierre, and I am a lobbyist for the Motion Picture Association of America. I want to start out by saying that I commend Governor Janklow and his staff for bringing forth such important legislation, and we're here today to support it with one small amendment that I understand the chair may have.
Yes.
And if I could, Madam Chair, address the amendment. I believe it hasn't been moved yet.
No, in fact, we can move it at this time for purposes of discussion. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Mutson, moved by Senator Simmons.
Thank you very much. You may wonder what the Motion Picture Association of America, that is an organization of the leading motion picture manufacturers and distributors in Hollywood, has to do with this legislation. And well, one of our clients is Walt Disney, for example. We looked at this bill because it does include films in it, and there was a couple of portions of it that looked like they could spill over into the motion picture industry. I went to Bill Mickelson and his team and talked to them about that, and they assured me that that was not their intent to keep PG-13 movies out of the theaters, they worked with me and were very accommodating, and with their help, this amendment has been put together, and it simply clarifies that this is not about going after the movies as we know them, but as after child pornography and the people that are behind that. And we would urge you to amend this legislation to clarify that and then go on and pass this very important bill. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator Dugard.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. You've obviously read this carefully. One question I'd have of you and also of Mr. Campbell, if he'd care to answer it, is the section of the bill Section 7 prohibits a person to possess, manufacture, or distribute child pornography, and that is defined further in that section as possessing, distributing, or disseminating any visual depiction, which is defined very clearly. Any film, photograph, slide, videotape, electronic, digital media. And I'm wondering, looking back at Section 4, which prohibits selling child pornography, if you can conceive of any instance where the sale or display of child pornography would not be incorporated, would not also be possession and distribution under Section 7. I guess I'm wondering if we have Section 7, which is worded very carefully and broadly, do we even need Section 4 anymore?
Well, I would defer to the real experts who are behind me, but I guess I would just say that if there is any stretch of the imagination which one might be able to possess under Section 7 without falling under Section 4, that I would err on the side of caution, because this is the type of legislation that we really need. And with that, I'd let the guys behind me pick it up. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there other people would like to, would the sponsors like to come back and at least be willing to answer some questions?
Absolutely, Madam Chairman. If you'd like me to respond just briefly, Senator.
Please.
It's a good question. Section 7 is certainly, the intent is to cover not-for-profit, the individual in his home, those kinds of things. It's a class 4 felony, whereas Section 4, which is to get at the actual for-profit type of trading of child porn, I believe is a class 6 felony. I guess in response to your question, a businessman who has some child porn on the shelf would be in possession of it, and I guess I would rely on the prosecutor to use his discretion on which statute he felt was the better statute to prosecute. In my mind, that's a slam dunk if he's got it out on the shelf for sale. But you do raise a good point as far as the Section 7.
Madam Chair, can you think of any instance where an act that would be prohibited under Section 4 is not already prohibited under Section 7?
I guess I can't really think of an instance.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes.
What we're discovering is that oftentimes these pedophiles who are in the business of buying, selling, trading don't actually have possession of it, that it's stored out on an F-serve somewhere in cyberspace, and then they'll give people access to that, or they'll go out and retrieve it themselves and then pass it on. So while it's not possible to write language that's going to cover every scenario, we're trying to be as broad in our interpretation as we possibly can.
So, if I may, Madam
Yes.
Chair, so the description you just gave, which section of the Act reaches them?
We're hoping that the sections that you are talking about covers that scenario. You know, again, like Mr. Jarrett said, it'd be up to the discretion of the charging party to determine which is appropriate.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. I also have a question, if I can find the chapter. I believe, yeah, is it 23? I was looking. There it is. Yeah. Sections 23 and 24 give me some concern, because any person working at or for an internet service provider or electronic communication service, which could be a photography store or I'm a little bit concerned that they could innocently be pulled in without really being involved at all under this act. And I'm especially thinking of the worker who handles, the person who develops, the person who is involved in any of the processing mechanisms, and there are several steps along the way.
Yep. And certainly given your past employment history, Madam Chair.
Having spent many evenings working in on a photography developer.
It's a good question, and yes, the intent of the law is to cover any employee that works at one of these commercial film and photograph print processors. But again, keep in mind, it's not a duty to investigate. It's not a duty to monitor. It is simply a duty that if you see it, if it comes across your desk, if you don't notice it, you don't notice it. But if you do notice it, the law simply requires you to report that to your supervisor, and then the supervisor needs to contact local law enforcement.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the committee? Senator Huttmacher.
How are you really going to prove, though, Jarrett, if somebody noticed it or not noticed it? I mean, you know, you can slide it by and look at it or do whatever, and that's going to be hard, I think.
No, you're absolutely right, Senator. There's certainly no government camera in every one of these where we're going to be spying on any of the employees. No, I mean, the intent and spirit of the law is to simply get, it's kind of part of an education process. We'd like, you know, the photo labs, the computer repair technicians, the ISPs, to simply be put on notice that we're asking them as a society and as a public policy, please help us with this. And if you see it, please report it. And I believe this is happening already. Bill Mickelson could speak to that, but I know that that's happening already. But we just like to make sure as public policy and put it into law that we need help. And if they see it, they got to report it.
Senator Brown.
Mr. Campbell, could you just briefly run through that amendment again? I want to make sure that all parties were in agreement.
Yes, Senator, no problem. This is existing law, as we can tell from looking at the amendment. All we're doing is we're applying our new child porn laws to this existing section, and this is designed basically to cover National Geographic, for example, that may show minors in Africa, for example, whose culture is such that they don't wear much clothes. It's designed any kind of sexual education tape that might be discussing about things, not that you're going to have children as a part of that, but that's the intent and spirit of that is so that there are, so that those kinds of serious literary magazines, publications, films, don't have to lose sleep over, geez, are we going to get in trouble under these kinds of laws? And that's fairly standard throughout the United States. You'll see that in almost every state.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Appreciate your willingness to answer questions. Are there opponents to Senate Bill 181? Are there opponents here to testify? To testify against the bill? Seeing none, then we'll close for committee action and discussion. We have a pending amendment. Okay. Yep. Any further discussion on that amendment? It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the amendment will say aye. Opposed, nay. The bill is amended. Any further action on Senate Bill 181 as amended?
Madam Chair, I would move Senate Bill 184 do pass as amended.
Senate Bill 184 do pass as amended. Seconded by Senator Hutmacher. Any other committee discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will call the roll. All those in favor of passing Senate Bill 184 as amended will say aye as your name is called. All those opposed will say nay.
Senator Groves?
Aye.
Dugard?
Aye.
Hutmacher?
Aye.
Munson?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Whiting?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeas, aye.
Senate Bill 184 will travel to the floor. Do pass as amended.